Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and we're talking at Freedom Fest in Las Vegas with Chris Preble of the Cato Institute, the author most recently of The Power Problem, How American Military Dominance Makes Us Less Safe, Less Prosperous, and Less Free. Chris, this book is a couple years old, but the message is still as relevant as ever. In a nutshell, how does being dominant militarily around the world make us less safe?
People think that strength is a function of how much you spend and power, but of course, power is the ability to get things done, to accomplish things. And I think we've confused having military strength with having the ability to actually make things happen.
So you're saying that 10 years of occupying Iraq, 10 years of occupying Afghanistan,
right.
50 years of Korea, we're not getting things done.
Right. In fact, I would argue that we're creating a sense of dependency. These other countries are growing more dependent upon U.S. military power, and then it's harder and harder for them to break free of that.
We're in a moment now where, because of various budget agreements that were passed, the defense budget is going to be cut at least minimally for a year. You hear on the, particularly among conservatives, saying we cannot afford to spend any less than we are spending right now on defense. In fact, we have to increase it by X percent or Y percent or Z percent. How realistic is that?
I don't think it's wise. Yeah. We could spend more on defense if they wanted to raise taxes, if they want to pile on more debt, if they want to cut from other places in the budget, which I'm sure they do. The question is, it's not necessary. You have to keep it in context. Even if the sequestration, this is the Budget Control Act provision, even if that comes into effect, it'll put us at about 2007 or 2000, between 2006 and 2007 levels in real inflation-adjusted terms. That wasn't a lean year for the Pentagon. You have to remember, that's the base budget. Leave aside the cost of the wars. So I think they're relying on people not kind of scrutinizing the numbers, really understanding that, first of all, military spending is at a historic high right now in real dollars.
And that's in real dollars.
In real dollars, yes.
And, you know, I mean, it's the case. People will always say, well, you know what, we have to spend more per person on this program or whatever. Defense spending isn't like that, right? It doesn't scale up in the same way.
Some people say that, but my argument would be certainly some of the efficiencies that we've seen in virtually every other industry in the world should apply to some extent in the military. It hasn't. And why? Because it's not a competitive marketplace. Most of these suppliers, the most dominant military suppliers, their only customer in effect is the U.S. government.
Talk a bit about Barack Obama and his foreign policy. How would you characterize it, and what is its critical weakness or failure?
I think it's a mixed bag. I have to say, just candidly, that in terms of dealing with terrorism, I think that President Obama has taken the right approach. It's really about talking about terrorism and trying to dial back people's most hysterical fears about a supposedly existential threat, which terrorism does not pose. And you see this from the very earliest days of his administration. He understands how talking about it, how important that is. Leaving that aside, most of the other things that he's done as president, I'm not a fan of. I think the war in Libya last year was foolish. It wasn't particularly costly, but it confirms this argument that libertarians have been making for a long time, that the president gets to do whatever he wants, Congress completely rolls over, and the president has, on top of that, he's invoked the fact that, well, the fact that the UN Security Council approved of that use of force, then essentially why should we care what the U.S. Congress thinks?
And
that
kind of thing should really be offensive. You know, it's not clear what's happening in Libya.
Right.
That is, well, now
even that
solved.
Is not a shining symbol of success. We certainly hope that things work out well, but there's still a lot to be done there. You know?
What about on the Republican side? I mean, somebody like Mitt Romney doesn't have, a foreign policy pass.
Right.
What do you take to be his foreign policy, and if we can talk about it and critique it?
Right. I mean, the short answer is toughness, tougher. He talks a lot about American exceptionalism, basically made it the subject of his book. What I focus on is his plan for increasing military spending. He says he's going to spend at least 4% of GDP over the next 10 years. He doesn't say exactly when he will achieve that target. But that's a lot of money. By my calculation, even the low-end estimate would be $2 trillion in additional spending over the next 10 years, which begs the question, two questions. One, how are you going to pay for it? Where does the money come from? But equally important, what are you going to do with this much larger military mm-hmm. that we're not already doing? He wants to grow the Army and Marine Corps right. considerably. Well, does that mean you want to do more Iraq right. and Afghanistan style missions? Because the reason why President Obama has reduced slightly right. or planned to reduce the Army and Marine Corps is because he said, well, we're not going to do these nation building missions.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Chris Preble of the Cato Institute and the author of the 2009 book, The Power Problem. Thanks so much.